Whatever next, eh?
I'll just rinse it off for you.
First it's herpes, then it's yuppies.
Mm.
Oh, you can say that again. Band-aids, live-aids, marital aids. It's not help they want, it's castration.
Is that too hot for you?
No, it's dirty habits, that's what does it.
Mm.
Oh, that's lovely.
Sid, by Steve May. With David Collings as Pringle, Donald G. as the hair consultant, Tessa Worsley as his client, Geoffrey Whitehead as Sir Henry Pelham, and Michael Kilgariff as Simpson.
A total cure, you say, Pringle?
Yes, sir.
Of course, that's wonderful news, if it's true.
It is true, sir, I can assure you. I have it all here in black and white in this thick dossier under my arm.
Let me have a look at that.
Certainly.
Thank you. While Sir Henry Pelham, our director, is perusing that file, perhaps you can put me in the picture.
Well, Mr. Simpson, I've done tests on rats, tests on cats, tests on seals, tests on goats, one test on an elephant, and 3 months of clinically controlled trials on unsuspecting jailbirds and mental cases.
Success rate?
100%.
Tell me, Pringle, this formula of yours, it's expensive to manufacture?
No, it's dirt cheap. You could treat the entire population of China for the cost of one cruise missile transport attire.
And one doesn't need repeated application of the stuff?
No, it's a single, complete, once-for-all cure.
That's super.
I thought you'd like to know what I've been up to.
Congratulations. I should think you'll get the Nobel Prize.
Simpson, shut up.
Oh. Pringle, this report makes very interesting reading. Would you mind stepping outside for a moment while I discuss it with Simpson here, my number two?
Not at all, Sir Henry. Whatever you say. The last thing I want to do is talk... excuse me, I'm just going.
Simpson, has he gone?
Yes, sir, I think so.
Now then.
He's not really a very impressive specimen, is he, sir?
No, a grammar school boy. Yeah. No backbone. However, this report of his, it's more than impressive, it's conclusive.
You mean Pringle has actually discovered a once-and-for-all cure?
There's no doubt about it. Put Pringle's formula into production, and in a decade we can totally eradicate scurf from the face of the planet.
Hurrah!
What are you cheering for, you imbecile?
That's what we're all about, isn't it? We at the Sculpt Research Institute, waging a ceaseless battle against cranial detritus.
Battle, absolutely, but ceaseless, that's the important word.
What do you mean, Sir Henry?
I mean, the last thing we want to do is kill the goose that lays the golden egg.
Which goose?
Use your brains, ma'am. Scurf, dandruff. One can't have a Scalp Research Institute with nothing into which to research.
But Pringle's lotion will only eliminate scurf, not the scalp itself. Or have I got that wrong?
No, you're quite right. But once you take away the dandruff, the scalp becomes pretty uninteresting medically, doesn't it?
Oh, you mean the government might remove our funding if we were working in an ailment-free anatomical area?
Precisely. One doesn't concentrate one's riot police in Finchley, does one?
Good heavens, so this could mean doom for the Scalp Research Institute.
Never. Not while I, Sir Henry Pelham, am director.
What are you going to do?
You'll see, Simpson. But all in good time. Time, that's the essence. Pringle!
That was 6 months ago, Pringle.
I wish you wouldn't call me Pringle, darling.
And don't you start calling me darling. Not when I'm in this kind of mood.
Sorry. My valves are sticking.
And pass me that jar of depilatory mousse.
Here.
Thank you.
My first name's Brent. We should know that, considering we've been married for 10 years.
That's right. 10 years. Totally wasted. The best part of my life.
Only 29.4%.
What is only 29.4% of what?
10 is only 29.4% of 34, which is how old you are.
Can't you ever forget that you're a scientist and just be a human being?
You're the one who keeps reminding him about my work.
You blame me. Razor.
Here.
The big one, stupid.
Sorry.
All last winter you bored me silly, talking about some great discovery you were making. You spent a fortnight in the shed writing up this massive dossier thing. You hand it in, and now it's 6 months later and nothing. Not even a pay rise.
I've told you before. It's normal procedure with any research report. It has to be read by referees, checked with other institutes, repeat experiments, all that kind of thing before they can publish it. Sir Henry Pelham himself assured
me... Sir Henry. Pringle, you're a fool and a weakling. Sandpaper.
Fine.
Course.
Here.
If you ask me, they're gagging you. Stop that! They don't want you to have your rightful share of the limelight. I reckon they'll sit on your discovery forever, if you let them.
Do you really think so?
I know so, you wretched, wretched little man.
What can I do, though? One wretched little man against a faceless bureaucracy.
You could show a little initiative. You could get up off your backside and do something.
Mm.
backhanders? Oh, no, I never watched that.
Mm-hmm. They're no good at anything, but they're really, really sharp dressers. And they get on in life by palm greasing.
Oh, I've seen it, but I don't watch it. Only if I'm in and the telly's on.
Mm, that's like me.
I mean, I don't hardly know Angie from Angus.
Angus? He's the bull.
I'm terribly sorry to trouble you, Sir Henry. I know how busy you are.
That's right, I am. Extremely busy. I hope you're not going to waste any of my precious time.
I just thought I might ask...
Get on with it.
How things are going with my research.
I don't know, do I? You're the one who's doing it.
I meant the other research. The cure for dandruff.
Oh, the old stuff.
Yes.
I thought you research Johnnies were always pressing forward. The next discovery, not hankering on about the past.
Yes, but I just wondered...
I mean, the old stuff of yours. It's water under the bridge, as far as I'm concerned.
Don't you want to eradicate the curse of scurvy? From the face of the earth.
Of course I do. We have to get our priorities right. You believe in conservation, don't you?
I suppose.
Well then, I don't want to go making dandruff extinct, do I? Not before we thoroughly studied and researched it.
But scurf, it's a bad thing. We don't want to conserve bad things, do we?
Of course we do. Tigers are pretty bad things if they bite you, but everybody's potty about preserving them. And whales if they happen to sit down on you. Is that all?
Yes, I think so.
Good. You know your own way out.
Oh, one thing... My wife said to say, if you don't publish my findings, I'm to go to the press.
The press, eh?
Well, that's what she said. You don't mind, do you?
You do as you please.
Well, thank you very much.
I just mentioned casually that any disclosure relating to work carried out within the Scalp Research Institute constitutes a breach of the Official Secrets Act, Section 2, which you have signed, so whisper one word, sunshine, and there'll be jackboots on the doorstep in the early hours, if you get my drift.
And I'm telling you, Pringle, either you start this ball rolling, or I'm going to make your life hell.
She'll marry Trevor.
Whom?
Angie, in Backhanders.
Oh, no, I don't think so. Not with his allergy.
No. They'd never be able to interface, would they?
Mm-hmm. Hello. Heavyweight Daily Newspaper. Can't be named for libel reasons. Can I help you?
I'm not sure.
Don't waste my time, please. My toenails are drying fast.
Well, the thing is, I'm a top research scientist, and I've made a wonderful discovery that will contribute greatly to the sum total of human happiness. But my findings are being repressed by the forces of greed and capitalism.
I'll put you through to the newsroom.
Newsroom?
Hello? I don't know if you can help me.
I doubt it. Pink socks, I ask you.
The thing is, I'm a top research scientist and I've made a wonderful discovery that will contribute greatly to the sum total of human happiness. But my findings are being repressed by the forces of greed and capitalism.
You're on a wrong extension, chum. This is the newsroom, bloody switchboard. What? Put this prat through to science, can you? And don't ever do that. Hello?
Oh. Are you science?
He's out to lunch. Can I take a message?
Well, the thing is, I'm a top research scientist and I've made a wonderful discovery that will contribute greatly to the sum total of human happiness. But my findings are being repressed by the forces of greed and capitalism. Uh-huh. Do you think he might be interested?
I don't know. I'm Rugger. What's this discovery all about then?
A complete one-dose cure for scurf.
Scurf as in dandruff?
That's right.
Oh, you'll want the beauty page then, won't you?
Will I?
Skin care and stuff.
Yeah, but surely...
Hello?
This one's after women.
Right-ho.
Hello? Woman's page.
Hello. Look, I'm a top research scientist, and I've made a wonderful discovery.
Well, that's not women, is it? Not if you're scientific.
Well, women have hair, don't they?
So do spiders. Well, I'll try getting through to the newsroom.
What do you mean they weren't interested?
They weren't.
They weren't interested because you are not interesting.
I tried ever so hard.
If you'd invented the self-eating curling tongue, you'd manage to make it sound boring.
I wish I'd never tried. Now I feel silly.
You wish you were dead if you don't go through with this, Pringle. I'll make sure of that.
What else can I do? I've tried all the papers.
All?
Well, all the serious ones.
Well, I think you'd better move down market.
Hello, a tabloid. How can we help?
I think I want the newsroom.
I'm afraid we don't have one. Is it sex, soap or sport?
I suppose soap is the closest.
Putting you through.
Hello, soap.
Oh, hello. I have a story you might like to use.
What is it? Brookside, Backside, EastEnders, Backhanders, Neighbours or Emmerdale Farm?
It's scurf.
What's that? New Zealand?
The thing is, I'm a top research scientist, and I've made a wonderful discovery that will contribute greatly to the sum total of human happiness. But my findings are being repressed by the forces of greed and capitalism.
And?
Well, that's it, really.
A bit too newsy for us, mate. What's this cure for?
Scurf.
What, scurf as in dandruff?
Right.
Now you're talking. Now you're talking. Just let me get my pencil out and a cup of tea and dry it off.
You mean you take scurf seriously?
Of course I do. Angie's got it.
Who's Angie?
Angie in Backhanders. On the box, dickhead. Everyone's wondering if she can get rid of her dandruff in time when her Christmas knee's up. So Trevor will be able to pop the question, because otherwise he's got this allergy.
To women?
No, dandruff, her brain. It's like hay fever.
That's ridiculous.
Never mind what's ridiculous. You just tell me the story.
I know what I'd do if I was Trevor.
What, hold your nose?
No, I'd put a paper bag over my head.
Not a bad idea, that.
Soap Buff Prof in Shampoo Store.
Soap Addict Buff in Bent Prince is all lathered up. He thought he'd do Backhander star Angie a favour.
She's tops for me, he confessed. So when I saw all that dandruff in her lovely locks, I had to act.
Our harebrained prof came up with a scurf cure, but now the glum doc claims the Bieber banned his Wonder Lotion.
They say scurf is part of her role, he complained, but I think it spoils her sizzling looks.
What do you think?
There's a special signed Angie comb for the 10 best letters we receive this week.
Somehow I never thought Pringle would have the nerve to go through with it.
I suppose it is only the popular press.
Yes, but these things spread. We must put a stop to it.
Did you know the proprietor of the paper?
No.
Then what can we do?
What we always do when some misguided fool starts telling the truth about what goes on in a government establishment.
Shampoo Prof in secret scare.
He leaked, claims Scalp Supremo.
Papers with the DPP.
On the stock market, persistent rumours of a once-for-all scurf cure sent scalp care prices tumbling for the third day running. Noxo dropped 15 at
797.5. Well, Pelham, these rumours true or not?
Of course they aren't true. Surely you can't place any credence in the nonsense peddled by the gutter press?
Doesn't matter where I place my credence, Pelham. It's the market that matters. I'm speaking now not just to Sir John Knox, chairperson of Knoxo Pharmaceutical, but also a spokesperson for the Confederation of Lathering and Rinsing Product Industries.
Collar, for short.
That's right. And we of Collar are by no means in the market for a final solution to the scurf question, not at this moment in time.
Of course you're not. We at the Scalp Research Institute have always had a tactful grasp of your position there. A once-and-for-all scurf cure would render half your products obsolete.
Naturally, the SRI must always be totally independent, totally dedicated to the pursuit of knowledge for its own sake.
Now, I wouldn't go as far as that.
Well, I know we of the private sector only supply a bare 10% of your funding.
And very grateful we are, too.
But it should not be forgotten that the government has always been extremely sensitive to the needs of the private sector and responsive to the opinions of the professionals. So, if we were to make the minister aware that recent directions pursued by the Scalp Research Institute were contrary to the best vested interests of certain...
There's no need to spread it out, Knox. It's cover up or closed down.
Exactly.
And don't worry. We'll nail Pringle with the Official Secrets Act. The DPP is considering the case even now.
Isn't all that little heavy-handed?
Never. 30 years is too good for the little swine.
But doesn't use of that act suggest that there is a secret to hide, thus tending further to undermine market confidence in our sector?
I hadn't thought of that.
Not to mention the publicity dragging on and on.
That is a problem.
Your problem, Pelham. I hope for your sake you find a solution fast.
All for love, says Scurvily Prof. Angie Addict. Head doc in headlines, blah, blah, blah. You see, dear, I've done it.
You have indeed. Pass me that plastic Macintosh.
Here. You said I couldn't, but I have. All over the papers.
That's right.
Mind you, they've got nearly everything wrong, but I suppose that's only details.
Bent Prince. And that travelling alarm clock over there.
Oh, of course. Here.
And the bottle of instant tan.
Even you seem happier now.
I am. Happier than I've been for at least 10 years and 3 months.
I know. I haven't touched the trumpet all day. Let them persecute me. Let them prosecute me. I've done it all for the woman I love.
Don't weep into the suitcase, please.
I don't care if I'm locked up. Not for a year, 10 years, so long as you're happy and...
waiting for me.
Two bikinis, crotchless French knickers, Mills and Boone, contraceptive devices, various.
I'm afraid you'll have to do without me for tea tomorrow. The newspapers want a double-page spread, so I'm doing a photo session with that Angie woman.
Oh, no, you're not.
Of course, if you're jealous, I won't.
don't wet. I'm merely stating a fact. There won't be any more articles about you and your silly invention.
What are you getting at?
The party's over, sucker. You've trod on one toe too many. Upset some powerful people. You're finished.
No, I'm not. I'm a celebrity.
You're nothing. Again. It makes me really rather glad I'd already made up my mind to leave you.
Leave me? Please. Don't.
Let go of my ankle, Pringle. It's all right. I'm not going yet.
Oh, thank God.
Not until I've signed the forms necessary to have you committed to a lunatic asylum.
Law Retreat Sanatorium. Reduce rates for parties. Admission 7546, Pringle, Brent, Nigel. Diagnosis, office head. Bed 46, Crimea Ward. Next, please.
Well, Sir Henry, I think you handled that very well.
Thank you, Simpson.
Perhaps £10,000 was a little too much to pay that dreadful Mrs. Pringle.
Never. It only means two less purse grads next year and no Christmas dinner for the menial staff for the next decade.
Oh.
I had it thoroughly costed. A very small price to pay for the survival of the Scalp Research Institute.
True, sir. And now all our troubles are over.
You think so?
Of course. Pringle's out of the way. His research is discredited. The stock market's back up. And Angie's problem has switched to her ankles. I'd say we were sitting pretty.
Maybe. But I have a feeling when it comes to the renewal of our grants next year, those boys at Collar may still have it in for us.
Come on, Pringle. Put that trumpet down and drop your trousers.
I've got to see Angie.
Angie's not on yet. Not till 7.
I saved her.
Of course you did.
I dived in and saved her.
Just a little jab to make us feel better.
No.
Teeny weeny needle.
No.
Come on, mate. Show us your body.
No!
Yes! Oh, this little bastard there.
Sure thing, Doc.
There. That's better.
Funny. He didn't seem too bad when they brung him in.
No, quite normal. The same as you or I.
6 months in here and he's completely gaga.
Well, nurse, I call that a great tribute to the environment we provide here at La Retraite. A great tribute.
15-2, 15-4. And one for his knob.
Well, gentlemen, I suppose we better get down to business. The sooner we start, the sooner we finish.
What's on the agenda?
Basically, cuts. We've got to save 5 million. Either we do it in dribs and drabs.
That'll take forever.
Or we do it with one swinging blow.
One hospital.
Or research centre.
Very well, let's start with the newly made tangeries.
I suppose we can't touch AIDS.
No.
Or cancer.
We could do less screening.
Point taken, but that's marginal.
Then there's transplants.
Such as?
Heart.
Lungs.
Kidney.
Liver.
Bacon.
Chitling.
Tripe.
We can't touch any of them.
Ah, the elite corps.
If I had my way, I'd cut the lot.
To the bone.
Of course, but as you appreciate, there is the public relations angle to consider.
A swap is worth 1,000 hips.
Immediate.
Even if the swap bod snuffs it double quick.
That's as it should be. Medical research doesn't reside in an ivory tower. Mm. We are part of the entertainment industry.
So it'll have to be the usual, then.
That's right.
What? Something worthy of benefit to vast numbers of sufferers, but absolutely no media currency.
That's it in a nutshell.
Something affecting people with no clout.
People with no voice at all.
I've got it. The deaf and dumb.
Ah, I'm afraid the deaf and dumb don't get enough funding to make cuts worthwhile.
Pity.
I meant people with no political voice.
Children, too young to vote, weak, vulnerable, no jabs, no milk, no vitamins.
And with a bit of luck, they'll all die before they grow up and we won't have to bother about them.
I'm afraid children are much too media sensitive. We'd have that life on our
hands. Oh, God, no, anything but that.
How about loonies? No one takes much notice of that.
I'm afraid we've already cut the nutters.
When?
It's called care in the community.
No clout. How about amputees?
Done it.
Muscular dystrophy.
Done it.
Arthritis.
Done it.
Rheumatism.
Done it.
Palsy.
Paralysis.
Done it.
What on earth haven't we cut then?
Well, just speaking off the top of my head, how about dandruff? It's not very high. high profile at the moment.
The perfect target.
The Scalp Research Institute.
Nobody would give a damn about that apart from a few spotty, scurf-ridden youths with sweaty armpits.
Hang on, though. What about the lather and rinse boys? Won't they kick up?
That's the point. Can't afford to fall out with any of the big multinationals, can we?
Keep them sweet, that's the ticket.
As it happens, I'm reliably informed that the Confederation of Lathering and Rinsing Pharmaceutical Product Industries isn't at all happy with the way the Scalp Research Institute has been fulfilling its charter.
Oh, yes. Yes, it was the cure scare last year, wasn't there?
That's right.
So they'll have no objection if we remove the SRI's funding?
On the contrary, they'll be highly delighted.
Axe for Scourge Save Centre. 47 jobs to go.
I told you so.
Indeed you did.
And it's all Pringle's fault, him and his damned research.
That was nearly a year ago. You'd have thought people would forget.
Oh, not the Confederation. That Pringle business alerted them to the dangers of having a high-minded, independent establishment at work in the field. So a word here, a word there, and Bob's your uncle.
So we close in 2 months' time.
Makes me so cross. There's no justice in the world.
No correlation between performance and reward.
All these years I've smarmed and toadied, truckled and fawned, greasing palms and sucking bums and making sure I didn't tread on toes. I mean, in politics, I'd have been a cabinet minister by now.
At least.
One doesn't put a foot wrong and still get sat on.
If only we had a higher media profile, then they wouldn't dare touch us.
Yes, I knew I should have gone into something gooey and sentimental like hearts.
I don't suppose there is some way of raising our profile fast, getting into headlines, making ourselves uncuttable.
What would you suggest? A fun run?
Well, skin disease has been pretty fashionable since that singing detective thing. It's supposed to show you're sensitive and intelligent.
Yes, but there's skin disease and skin disease, isn't there? I mean, scurf. It's not much of a challenge for the makeup department. Is it?
I wonder what they'd use.
Astroscurf, I expect.
But if we could get it across that dandruff is a nervous affliction, that it only affects really sensitive people.
Get it across? How?
I'd get an expensive drama series on the telly with this hero or heroine.
You can't just get a series on telly. You have to be related to a producer.
Now, hear me out, please. This heroine, she seems on the surface to be really dense, a real bimbo, but she's got enormous quantities of scurf. Aha! Thinks simpering Docker, played by Michael Caine. There must be more to this dumb bit of scurf than meets the eye.
The plot seems vaguely familiar.
But the doctor, he's jealous, because although he's brainy, he hasn't got a single flake of scurf on his head, which means that she's a much warmer, more genuine human being than he is. And they all mind to old songs, and she won't go to bed with him until the very end, so he chops all her hair off.
Depilating Rita.
What do you think?
I don't think that line of attack will get us anywhere.
Okay, fair enough. How about this other hero or heroine? They're the great artist. No, violinist. But plagued by scurf, which keeps cascading into their eyes so they can't read the music.
Great violinist, play from memory.
All right. But what if the scurf cascades into their priceless Stradivarius instrument and clogs it up and spoils the sound so it's a case of a burgeoning musical career tragically cut short?
Dandruff for one.
Oh, there's this chap paralyzed from the neck down and people keep washing his hair for him, but he doesn't body washed, but he's powerless to stop them.
Whose scurf is it anyway?
That's right, because this poor chap, he loves his dandruff, and eventually he drowns himself in a scummy basin.
Simpson, when I said you were on the wrong track, I was referring not to a particular plot line, but to the whole concept of trying to popularize scurf by dramatic means. You see, even if you could get something on, it would be too late. We close in 2 months, and I should think it takes half that just to write the piece.
There was Angie in Backhanders. Everyone was talking about her.
Was. Then it was her ankles, and then she took that job with the Albanian tourist board.
Yes, but it shows the potential. That whole business of Trevor's allergy, will they, won't they?
Trevor's allergy to dandruff was utter nonsense, dreamt up by some ignorant hack, as you well know.
Yes, but people swallowed it at the time.
I'm afraid the plain fact is, scurf is not a killer plague.
No, I suppose not. At least... not yet.
Not yet. Not in a million years. People just do not take dandruff seriously.
They didn't used to take mosquitoes seriously or rat fleas, not till someone warned them.
I hate to spoil your flow, but the mosquito is responsible for malaria and the rat flea bubonic plague, whereas scurf...
Exactly. What if someone discovered that scurf was responsible for a great many deaths previously ascribed to natural causes?
That's preposterous. What nonsense you sometimes talk.
Of course. I'm sorry. What a silly idea.
Do you think we could pull it off?
I don't see why not. I mean to say, there's a very fine line between discovery and invention.
We'd have to cook up a research report.
It shouldn't take too long on the old word processor.
And someone would have to put their name to it.
Is that a problem?
If the rat was smelt, whoever had his name on that report would be in very hot water.
That's true.
If you'd like to volunteer.
Surely it'd look better coming from you.
No way, Jose. I can't think of anyone on the staff who'd agree to take that risk.
It might be risky even to broach it to them.
Yes, in case the broachee decides to be goody-goody and starts telling tales to Nanny.
Hmm. We could invent someone.
No. The whole point's publicity. Our man's got to be available.
Unless he's unfortunately incommunicado.
How do you mean?
Locked away in an asylum.
What? Pingle?
Yes. We fudged the dates, so it appears he did all the research before he went bonkers.
And we can hedge our bets. We can take the line, although we can't wholly vouch for the reliability, blah, blah, blah. We consider it in the public interest to make the findings available.
And trouble is, that kind of balanced, reasonable approach won't cut any ice with this government.
Damn the government. It's the gutter press I'm interested in. If we can tickle them, the government will come trotting like spaniels.
Scalp Research Institute publication number 14/D2/73206 Pringle. Cranial detritus, contraindications for public health.
So you're asking we gentlemen of the press to believe that if you breathe in too much scurf, it makes you icky?
Not just icky. It can kill.
Eventually.
Sounds like a load of old cobblers to me, mate.
Claptrap, guff and twaddle.
Oh, so we might be interested.
We could do with a nice new scare.
People, they're getting blazy about the old stuff.
And it's all imported, ain't it? I mean, AIDS and stuff.
Nice to have something homegrown.
So, you'll run the story.
Hang on, hang on.
There's a couple of points we need to clear up first.
Of course. Anything at all you need to know about symptoms, people at risk?
Not symptoms, Dick Brain.
We can make that up.
Oh, it's like ethics.
You've got a standard.
If you're impugning the veracity of this report...
Veracity? What's that?
Number one, on no account does we run no story what might be offensive to the government or any big multinational.
It's a prime case of pipers and tunes, comprendo?
We can have a bit of a dig, but nothing really brutal or true.
I think we're on fairly safe ground there.
Considering that dandruff mainly afflicts the great unwashed, doesn't it?
Good point.
I like it.
And point two, we need an angle.
What sort of angle?
Personalities, duh, brain.
People with a bit of flair, a bit of erzaz.
Or big bust, that'll do.
What for?
For human interests, you great tea cake.
Human beings, salt of the earth, get it?
Or pets.
So we can hype it up and then it goes on quiz shows and chat shows and stuff and get divorced and have affairs and photos with snakes and stuff.
How about Simpson here?
Where?
There.
What, him?
Yes.
You must be jesting, Squire.
Far from it.
I wouldn't mind a divorce, but I'm not so sure about the affairs.
Nothing wrong with Simpson.
No, apart from being a right nilly.
I don't think the wife would care for it.
See what I mean?
I suppose it will have to be me, then.
Oh, I don't know about that, Gov.
Thank you for your concern, but I appreciate the dangers, and I'm willing to take my chances.
Oh, not concerned, Cock, not about you.
Mess with chances, that's down to us.
It ain't nothing to do with you.
We decide.
And you? You're a cast-iron no-no.
Why?
Too heavy.
El Ponderoso.
Like catching a brick in a cobweb.
Nah, we want some bod the public can identify with.
Lightweight.
Frothy.
Ignorant.
Yeah, how about the cove who dreamt the whole thing up? This Pringle person.
Not suitable at all.
at all.
We'll be the judge of that.
He's a bit of a card, isn't he?
He's not reliable.
Sounds promising. Done lots of mad, bad things, has he?
You could say that.
What are we waiting for? Let's see.
You can't.
Now, look here, Pops. We're all sweet and chums here, Prez. But this is scratch mine and up yours. Make trouble for us, and we'll crucify you. Crucify.
You can't talk to him because he's no longer with us.
A dead un? Great.
What you say will be lying.
No libel. Here is a widow.
We can go and harass her.
He's not dead. He's left our employ.
Oh. Where's he hang out, then?
I don't know if in all conscience I ought to tell you that.
Oh, sir, you mustn't.
Come on, Tooth Mug. Remember what I told you?
Actually, he's a permanent resident of the Laura Trey Sanatorium. Perhaps you know it.
Busy today.
Nothing else to do, is there?
I don't know what the world's coming to. I mean, there hasn't been a decent new disease for months and months.
And what with Angie being in Albania?
Are you Pringle?
Brent Pringle.
Get that bugle out of your gob and answer the gents.
Poor Tom.
Have him back later.
Who's next?
He'll be all right now. I'll leave you two gentlemen of the press to it.
Tom, mate.
Yeah, have a drink.
Thanks. Don't rush. There's a truncheon in the cupboard by the ECT machine if you need it.
Right. Now then.
Are you Brent Pringle?
Pilot.
The words are thine own.
Here, John, he's dribbling. Get a snap, quick.
Nice one.
Right. Perhaps I'd better start again. Now then, are you Brent Pringle?
You'd better ask the doctors. They're the experts.
Well, we've just seen a shrink, and he says you is.
If the doctor diagnoses Pringle, why ask the patient for a second opinion?
Don't push it, punk.
The main thing is you're a bit of a nutter.
Me? I'm stark staring bonkers.
That's the ticket. Excuse me while I consult with my colleague.
Two sugars.
What do you reckon?
I reckon he'd smear very nice.
Of course he'd smear prawn brain.
My nuts of shame in booby hatch by drooling dandruff doc.
The point is, he's got to go up before he can come down, don't he?
Yeah, he's got to be famous.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking you. Do you reckon he'll catch on?
I don't see why not, if we coddles him.
What, keep him exclusive?
Yeah, yeah, no interviews with no one else, just quotes and photos and we supply.
Yeah, he takes a nice photo.
Set him up.
Pull him down.
Perfect. Might run for 2 weeks.
Right. Down to business. Brent, Pringle, old son. How do you like it down here on a farm?
It's very nice, thank you.
So you want out?
Come on, you don't want to spend your whole life incarceration, do you?
You want to get out, don't you?
We can swing it.
I feel you looked after.
Easy.
It's called freedom of the press.
We bangs matron a pony.
Monkey for the dog.
Jockeys for nursing.
Bags for the old boy on a gate.
Hey, presto, you're out.
Simple as that.
I don't know what to say.
We tells you what to say.
I'm a scientist, I won't tell lies.
Leave that to us.
Just keep your mouth shut and have your photo took and smile.
Kate saves Pringle, makes dandruff comeback.
Pringle?
Who? Heads you lose, warns Vonce Boffin Brent Pringle, pictured here with long-haired lovely Deirdre, 13.
The government can categorically deny that the dandruff situation has any negative health implications. We can only assume the SRI report was some kind of joke.
It's no joke, slams Scurf Man Pringle.
It says here Liberace had it.
Dandruff doom looms for Britain, says Harebrained Pringle.
And Rock Hudson.
The killer on your collar. Sid.
Sid, that's an acronym, is it, Sir Henry?
S-I-D, yes. S for scurf, I for inhalation, D for disease.
And it's caused by breathing in dandruff?
Well, in layman's terms, yes, but that would give us B for breathing, I for in, and D for dandruff, or biddy, so we plumped for Sid.
But we're talking about nose-to-scalp interface.
Not necessarily. There are some indications that when close to the parent scalp, scurf is less Sid-active than when detached in free float in the atmosphere.
Oh, isn't there anything else on?
Greater danger of contracting a SID on an open-top tram in Blackpool on a violently windy day than when trapped in a lift with 40 Asian flakeheads.
Can you say Mexican?
No. Mexicans are greasy, and grease is good from the SID angle.
Yes, but no one much cares what you say about Mexicans.
How about Swiss?
Nice one. You can say what you like about them.
And they're certainly not greasy. They have these Turkish bards to do all their sweated labour for them.
So that's trapped in a lift with 40 Swiss flakehead persons.
Swiss, I ask you. I mean, who cares about the Swiss?
I switched him off.
Can't be much of an illness.
If the Swiss catch it...
And what a boring old fart.
Blinky blimey, duck. Good stuff, a duck.
John, we is faced with a quandary.
What quandary is that, then, John?
The float and quote side of Sid's going down a tree, but tell you why, that's wise, it's a dead loss.
But it's down to that Pelham twat, he could bore hole in a lead vest.
Everybody's switching off in trones.
That last one, he done got lower ratings than Open University second level physics.
Whereas Pringle in the papers, he's caught on nice.
I like to pose with Deirdre in a gas mask.
The quandary is, do we take a chance and unleash Pringle on the audiovisual media?
Surely not. We crack, it all suss him for a nutter, then the whole story blows up in our faces.
Yeah, but look at it this way. If we don't push hard, the story's going to die to death anyhow.
True, look at herpes.
Pelham's a dead loss, right?
Right.
What if we give Pringle a script? Exactly what to say. And then has a tryout on one of them late-night Radio 2 jobs.
Good idea. No one listening.
Right. And everyone in the studio's pissed.
And if Pringle does foul up, he's just about high enough profile for a couple of days muxling and smearing the paper.
Right. So, what are we waiting for?
Sorry, studio guest.
Dr. Brent Pringle, Scurf Sage, expert in the field of Sid. Am I right?
Absolutely, old mate.
What exactly does Sid stand for?
So I dived in.
That's fascinating. Scurf inhalation.
I saved Angie in the water.
I'm not sure I follow.
Oh, don't. The water's cold. Cold! They let me out.
Another record. What's going on, then?
How do you mean, John?
Your expert here, he's talking absolute crap.
Don't you believe it?
He just blew a trumpet.
I dived in and saved all the little chickens.
He's a boffin, see?
An egghead.
They're all wacky.
Nutty profs.
On a different level of brainwave.
Maybe, but this is Radio 2, not the South Bank show.
He'll be okay.
We'll have a word.
Tell him to come down to your level.
You better get a move on. This record only lasts another 13 minutes.
Okay. Pringle, come with us.
No!
It is small, nearly soundproof, store cupboard.
They let him out, they did.
They'll put him straight back in again if he don't play the game.
We told you what to say.
It's all wrote down, see?
Yes, but it's silly what's written here.
Blimey, old Ryan, you're just a fella to judge what's silly, ain't ya? I dived in, I saved all the little chickens.
I'm telling you, compared to the crap you talk, this stuff here is like Einstein's gravity.
A good man we met in Africa.
That's right, and this here is good stuff. And you're going to read it. That was a bargain.
No, I can't. I may be deranged, but first and foremost, I'm a scientist. I cannot betray the truth.
Shall I bop him now, John?
Not yet. I'll try the subtle psycho approach.
It's very close in here.
I'm getting closer, cock. Remember when you goes for your first job?
Yes.
And they ask you loads of questions?
Yes.
And you give them a load of crap about really wanting the poxy job and team loyalty and being interested in stuff when all you really want is a cushy number and easy money.
Not at all. I said, what big eyes you have, Grandma. So they gave it to a Welshman.
Shall I?
No, I think he's cracking. How about your first date?
Oh, don't.
Cast your mind back. Flix, was it?
Pinocchio.
You tells her she's beautiful and you loves her forever and all you really want is to get your hand up her skirt.
No! The king was angry and I was a frog.
Blimey. I've never seen the like of this man's probity before.
Let me have a go.
Try if you like. But I reckon he's incorruptible.
Pringle, me old mate.
Yes?
Remember when you was at school?
Yes.
Happy days, was it?
No. Nobody plays with little piggy Pringle.
Big boys, was it?
Yes.
One particular big boy with a big fist like this. And he grabs you round the neck like so, and he shakes you a bit. And if you don't do what he says, he hits you. Well, it's the same here. Because if you don't shape up, it's straight back down the honey farm, and I'll break your legs as I go home, pretty.
Can you hurry up? Record's nearly finished.
Don't worry. Our friend the prof is rearing to go.
Did you hear it last night?
No. I don't listen to Radio 2.
Oh, nor do I, unless it's on.
Returning to my guest, Dr. Brent Pringle. Brent, after a lifetime devoted to dandruff, it must have been a wonderful moment when you realised that Scurf was really going to make it big at last.
Yes, John. Yes, John, I was over the moon. It was like your team winning the league and nobbing a nymphet all rolled into one.
How did you feel then?
I just told you that. Oh, sorry.
When I found the first Sid stiff, I just hooted for joy. My wife come running in.
But how did you feel at that moment?
She said, what's that corpse doing on the formica? She left me.
But Sid, on the contrary, has been with us for many years, unbeknown to medical science.
Absolutely, pal. Sid has killed millions over a long period, like the dinosaurs and Julius Caesar.
Wasn't he stabbed in the back?
True, but he wasn't gone already. Riddled with Sid. Remember the famous warning, Caesar! Oh, Caesar! Beware the march of Sid!
And I'll have to warn you, Dr. Pringle, that our switchboard is literally gorged with calls from ladies young and not so young, offering their formica for you and your goners.
He was really, really good.
Who?
I told you, on the radio, last night, that Pringle chap.
Oh, him.
The one who invented that new killer plague.
Sid, it's called.
Mmm.
Lovely vowels.
And in today's programme, eating raw sewage in Tangiers. We've all done it, but is it really good for you? Yet another poem about gas board inefficiency. But first, scurf inhalation disease, SID for short. Is it really worth getting lathered up about? In the studio, I've got man of the moment, Brent Pringle.
It's modern morals, I call it.
Mm.
In my day, you wore a headscarf.
Mm.
Is that short enough on top?
Yes, cock. The scurf gets down your pipes and in your bellows. Then it's wicked, man.
He doesn't talk down, does he, Pringle?
Mm.
Down to earth.
That's quite incredible, but how exactly does the scurf do the damage?
Well, it clogs you up. It weighs you down, like once it's in, it won't come out, not for love nor money.
Nice slacks he wears.
Mm. He'd do good on the weather.
I never thought they'd dare.
What? Let Pringle loose on the public?
Not just that. The liberties they've taken with the disease I invented.
Oh.
I used all my 30 years of experience in scalp to make Sid plausible. They've turned it into a comic operetta.
At least it seems to be doing the trick.
Yes, so far so good. It just depends now whether the public interest sustains long enough to shift the government.
I'd like to ask the panel, this Sid business, is it a joke or a threat?
Well, Minister, I'd say that was one for you.
Not entirely, because not being blessed with a sense of humour, I can't comment on the joke aspect of the question. But as regards threats, and let's be serious for a moment, if this Sid virus kills off a few unwashed socialists with long hair, sandals and nuclear-free 2CVs, well, don't knock it.
Still in the balance, I'd say.
I said to him, I won't ever catch Sid.
Mm.
He said, you might.
Mm.
I said, I won't. Mm. He said, you'll never know.
No.
I said, I do know, because I won't go putting my nose near any dirty people like that.
No one is safe, warns Pringle. Sid H-bomb effect.
That's better.
That's correct, mate. Even if the dandruff rigidifies in underprivileged areas, it spreads like fallout after a nuclear explosion through the leafy suburbs and even into little Welsh bar lambs like Chernobyl.
Well, they want to do something about it, don't they?
Mm. Who?
The government, sitting on their backsides, letting all those filthy people get away with it.
Mm.
I pay my rates. Mind you, Kinnock, he wouldn't do no better.
Pressure's building up, sir.
It just needs one last push.
Sid Cripple Angie back in backhanders. Albanian exile Angie is coming back in top soap backhanders. We can reveal topically suffering from Sid. Cumberside TV hint that scurf supremo Brent Pringle may be making a guest appearance to publicise the disease.
Pringle in backhanders? Surely the government must act now.
Yes, they must move. The question is, which way?
That's it.
What?
The party's over.
Yeah, time to pull the plug on Pringle.
Just so. That was our editor on the blower. He's had a word from the proprietor.
Things are getting too embarrassing for the powers that be.
Yep. He says a joke's a joke, but this is getting serious.
Pity. If we weren't the lackeys of greed and capitalism, we could have really pushed this one.
Yeah, and if you'd been Russian, you might have been Soldier Nitsy.
Okay, okay. Well, we all got our dreams. Even our bitten hacks like us.
Oh, have a tissue.
What's the plan, then? Start running all the funny farm sector on bogus Dr. Smear stuff we got ready?
Not yet, not yet. The head prefers it if Pringo hoists his own petard.
Oh.
Well, he's on the radio tomorrow, isn't he?
I'll phone in call Sue Smo, that's right.
I suggest we just send him on without a script.
What? No script?
No script.
He won't know what to say.
I expect he'll think of something.
He'll make a total tit of himself.
Precisely.
Better to answer your questions than the inventor of the disease, Professor Brent Pringle.
I ought quickly to explain that if you hear the occasional blast of a trumpet...
It's my faithful guide dog, Tom, who usually remains curled up under my chair, panting patiently in the heat of the studio lights.
I should point out that Professor Pringle is neither blind nor possessed of a dog.
But sometimes he gets carried away. And then it's a devil of a job finding him.
More from Dr. Pringle's trumpet later in the programme. But now, our first caller, Mr. Herbert from Chertsey.
Actually, Mrs. Herbert.
I'm sorry.
Good morning, Sue.
Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Pringle.
Oh, call me Bats.
Bats?
Or Balls.
It's raining very hard here, so I'm grateful for the tumble dryer.
If we could have your question now, Mrs. Herbert.
Bats in the belfry, you know. But bats are, in fact, extremely intelligent little fellows.
I wanted to say how much I like the doctor's puss.
Which puss is this, Mrs. Herbert?
I think the good lady refers apropos the cat on my lap, pictured in a certain newspaper this morning.
Is that right, Mrs. Herbert?
That's right. Lovely coat he had. If there's any kitten...
You're not my province, Mrs. H., since the beast was supplied for the nonce by a photographer, who also supplied the simpering infants and the old lady.
Pipe down, William. You know they'll bleed if you scratch them.
I hope that satisfies you, Mrs. Herbert.
No, I don't enjoy the sight of blood. You can't stop him, though.
And our next caller, from the north...
Right, Lufchim.
Marcia Rudge. Make your point, then. Ah, I believe it follows on from the last question.
No, it's the same. Exactly the same.
Never mind, ask it anyway.
I can't. I forgot it.
Dr. Pringle?
I can't remember what you said for me to ask.
I didn't say for you to ask anything.
Oh, yeah, you did, just now, at the beginning of the programme. You says we might like to ask this and we might like to ask that, and now I forgot, so I was the right moron. Don't know why you just don't ask all the questions yourself if you're so clever.
Well, Dr. Pringle, are the working classes innately thick, or is there some environmental consideration to consider?
I think I understand what Marcia's getting at. Marcia's saying if you don't ask the right question, you won't get the right answers. And any research scientist of whatever religious persuasion, he'll say hear, hear to that.
Now, from Hersham, Master Jason Smith. Hello, Jason. How old are you?
I'm 8.
That's lovely, Jason. What did you have for breakfast, Jason?
Cornflakes.
Better not ask you which brand. And have you got a little questy booze for Dr. Pringle?
Dr. Pringle, is SID a sexually transmitted disease?
Not exclusively, Jason. Hello.
Right, Lufchim.
Marcia Rudge, make your point then. Ah, I believe it follows on from the last question.
No, it's the same. Exactly the same.
Never mind, ask it anyway.
I can't. I forgot it.
Dr. Pringle?
I can't remember what you said for me to ask.
I didn't say for you to ask anything.
Oh, yeah, you did, just now, at the beginning of the programme. You says we might like to ask this and we might like to ask that, and now I forgot, so I was the right moron. Don't know why you just don't ask all the questions yourself if you're so clever.
Well, Dr. Pringle, are the working classes innately thick, or is there some environmental consideration to consider?
I think I understand what Marcia's getting at. Marcia's saying if you don't ask the right question, you won't get the right answers. And any research scientist of whatever religious persuasion, he'll say hear, hear to that.
Now, from Hersham, Master Jason Smith. Hello, Jason. How old are you?
I'm 8.
That's lovely, Jason. What did you have for breakfast, Jason?
Cornflakes.
Better not ask you which brand. And have you got a little questy booze for Dr. Pringle?
Dr. Pringle, is SID a sexually transmitted disease?
Not exclusively, Jason. Hello. That means not just sexually transmitted, because you can transmit him by air or boat or car.
But you could, like, get it from a horse.
I think the doctor's covered that one fairly thoroughly, Jason. Now, Mrs. X from Bexhill. Mrs. X?
Hello.
That's an unusual name.
My hubby's not been feeling himself recently.
Well, Brent, what are the symptoms of SID?
Well, the first, or prime symptom, as we call it, is a general feeling of being alive. Well...
Of being well?
Well-being.
Well-being?
Yes.
But as I'm sure you were going to add, for the sake of our older and younger listeners, feeling alive in itself is nothing to be alarmed about.
Oh, no! Well, feeling alive is fairly common, even these days.
And treatment?
They put me on tranquilizers.
For SID?
Ah, well, no. We can't cure him. Well, not yet. But we can alleviate the symptoms.
Is that a recent breakthrough?
Yes. within the last two or three minutes. You see, every major pharmaceutical company has developed at least one drug which is not only totally ineffective in treating its target disease, but also exhibits a wide range of harmful and debilitating side effects.
So?
Well, because the prime symptoms of SID are a feeling of being alive, of well-being, I can strongly recommend huge doses of these useless but harmful drugs for which the pharmaceutical companies have vast stockpiles.
Drugs such as?
Oh, there's so many. Penicillin, malignatide.
Myasmargon?
Oh, yes.
My uncle died taking that.
And Noxatol. I put that tops.
Noxatol.
Noxatol.
Mrs. X?
I'm not really interested in a cure. I want to know what happens after the feeling alive bit.
Brent.
Well, at some time after the feeling of being alive, the patient will encounter an extreme feeling of being dead.
But that's nothing to worry about, is
not
it?
Not at all.
I hope that puts your mind at rest, Mrs. X.
So long as he snuffs it sooner rather than later.
I'm afraid the doctor naturally can't comment on individual cases. Now, on up the road to Tanganyika, Dr. Livingstone.
How does one recognise this state of being dead?
Well, that can be fairly tricky. It's probably best to consult your GP.
Yes. I'm sure if you think you might be dead, the best thing is just to trot along to your family doctor and ask him.
But don't ask him for a home visit. Some GPs can turn fairly nasty if you try that.
Now, Mrs. Gush from Spalding.
I'd just like to say a personal thank you to Dr. Pringle and his team.
That's extremely heartwarming.
My dad never suspected, did he? Fit as a fiddle he was till they diagnosed it.
And now?
Dead as a duckboard.
That's super. And I'm sure that what you've said will give hope to thousands of other people up and down the country. Dr. Pringle?
Am I still here?
I think so.
You see, I have my hands over my ears.
But you can give a word of hope.
Oh, of course, of course. If we can do it for goldfish today, I can only say, Lord knows in the future what we'll do for the butcher.
Perhaps any goldfish listening in might care to call us and give us the view from under the green slime. Reminding you, Mrs. Call Sue's Mug, we're discussing the very serious topic of SID. In the studio, Dr. Brent Pringle, and I'm talking at the moment because there's a chronic shortage of calls. But now, on the line, from Chelsea, Gloria Long. Hello, Gloria. Can we have your question?
Hello. I'd like to sound normal and reasonable and then lapse into obnoxious small-minded racism.
Go ahead. The programme wouldn't be complete.
Well, I think the whole human race are brothers and must stand shoulder to shoulder in a crisis such as the current SID epidemic. But why, oh why, can't all those brown-hued Johnnies wear turbans?
Why are you eating that plastic cup?
I'm a nutter, drools Noddle Noodle Pringle.
Millions shocked by loony gaffes on SID phony.
He insulted me, Wales whopping widow.
It seemed perfectly all right to me. Perfectly normal.
Lovely dog.
Oh, laugh. I cry till the tears run up my nose.
Really, really funny.
What was the name of that stuff?
What stuff?
The stuff he said for SID.
Oh, Noxatol.
Have to get some.
Shares in the lather and rinse industries made small gains in Tokyo last night, despite rumours that the SID scare was on the wane.
My years of sex romp in the booby hatch by disgraced dandruff doc.
How many SID cases have you diagnosed then, Ralph?
None whatsoever.
That's bad luck.
Not bad luck at all. Good sense. The whole thing's a lot of nonsense. I've always said so. Do you hear that Pringle fellow on the wireless? Several peels adrift in the bell tower.
I'm not so sure.
What have your clinical instincts told you?
They've told me to diagnose 22 cases of SID since last Tuesday.
You'll be a laughing stock.
I don't think so. Public demands have been growing for some time.
Oh, surely not now Pringle's been discredited.
You've got to give the public what they want, however unpleasant. And that's the crucial factor.
What? Noxatol. What?
Noxatol.
You're referring to the foulest, most noisome drug ever offloaded on an unsuspecting public.
Yes. I suppose that's why, when they launched it, Noxo Pharmaceutical offered a free holiday for fall in Maldives for anyone managing to prescribe over 100 weight of the stuff.
It would, of course, be impossible, even with an inner-city practice.
No, because, didn't you hear, Pringle recommended Noxatol as a symptom alleviant for SID.
SID doesn't exist.
He does if you diagnose him. I've shifted 50 weight of the stuff already.
Funnily enough, I did have a couple of suspected Sid cases last month.
Well, then, confirm the man and get on the bandwagon before the offer closes.
How do you spell it?
N-O-X-F. Here. Ah. And you need the labels from 6 jars of various Noxo products.
How are you feeling today?
Oh, very peaky.
Me too. Oh,
that's good.
Shares in Noxo Pharmaceutical rose 26 to 743.5 on news of a boom in the sales of Noxetol.
Have you finished that story about how Pringle's a woofter and used to have satanic orgies in his garden shed with venture scouts and a woodcraft folk?
Oh, I done what? 25 words.
Ooh, over halfway then.
Yeah, it's a peach.
I've got news.
What?
You might as well chuck it.
No, it's quality.
It's Passy, Roo and Monkey. There's been a change of plan. Pringle's an OK Joe again.
What happened?
A lot of fat cats have started making plenty of rhino out of our mate Sid. That's what happened.
Well, what do we do? We've been slating Pringle all week.
The usual, sunshine. The usual.
Well, Simpson, I think we can finally concede defeat.
At least we gave them a run for their money.
Well, Sid just didn't have the legs.
Didn't even linger as long as hepatitis B.
Oh, well, let's pack our bags and say a last goodbye to the dear old Scalp Research Institute.
Sir Smear blamed on Reds.
What's that?
How the Ruskies tried to blight the name of Mercy hero Brent Pringle, Britain's lovable loony Sid Fight Surgeon.
Hard left, hard hearts, closed doors on Sid Stooges.
I told you so. I said all along there was nothing wrong with Pringle.
Unpack those bags, Simpson. Fetch the gerbils back from the butcher and give all rodents an extra celebration helping of noxious substances.
Aye, aye, sir.
The worm has turned. Just let them try and touch us now.
Rubbish! Rubbish!
Let me make it quite plain. The government has no immediate plans to close the Scalp Research Institute. I will be making a full statement perhaps in a week or so's time, when, hopefully, either public interest has waned again or my previous contradictory statements have been forgotten.
But did you never, you know, with Angie?
No. I dived in.
Not even a little smidgen of harmless hanky-panky.
Prevention comes before a cure.
Except in Ireland. Sorry, Your Holiness. But that brings us very smoothly, may I say, to Sid. How do we stop him?
Well, basically, we want devices and methods for safe scurf.
Can you elaborate?
So, Mickey, you're wearing one of the new head sheets.
I certainly am, Sal.
And how does it feel?
Great! Really great!
Well, it's certainly colourful.
That's the idea, Sal, because the old sheath's got this awful image with young people, all sweaty and rubbery, interfering with your normal social intercourse. So I thought, let's brighten it up, but put a bit of zip in it.
I can't see a zip.
Safe scurf can be fun.
You think they'll catch on?
I bloody hope so, Sal, because I got a fair bit of cash invested.
And our helicopter, well, it's fanning away like mad, but the sheath, it's still in place.
Electronic testing, see?
And not a grain of dandruff anywhere.
Let me say at once, the government are not axing the Scalp Research Institute.
But, Minister, only 3 weeks ago you stated, and I quote, a further £5 million will be saved by the non-provision of funds to the SRI.
What you must appreciate is there's a world of difference between axing and the kind of downward adjustment of funding which we envisage.
But in this case, the downward adjustment is to zero.
Of course it is. When we say something, we mean it. We don't change our minds just because of a bit of popular pressure. Oh, no.
Even when you're wrong?
Especially when we're wrong. You see, a mistake is only a mistake if you call it a mistake. And that's a very wet, wishy-washy, defeatist way of doing business.
So you wouldn't call a forcing the closure of an establishment carrying out research into one of the most feared diseases known to modern man a mistake?
No, of course not. And you mentioned closure. I didn't.
Frankly, aren't you laying yourselves open to the charge of not taking Sid seriously?
Far from it. HMG takes Sid very seriously indeed. As you can see, I'm wearing even more brilliantine than ever, although that hardly seems possible. And the PM's bill for lacquer has quadrupled in real terms.
You didn't used to take it seriously?
Of course we didn't.
With our usual lack of foresight, we didn't realize we were going to come under powerful behind-the-scenes pressure from the big boys who'd started making money out of the epidemic.
And what is your current evaluation of the future of the Scalp Research Institute?
Very, very rosy, because naturally its vital work must continue.
The government will restore funding.
No, we're going to offer the SRI for sale to the public at a real bargain basement knockdown price.
A dream. A vision. Look ahead. Calling all scalp hunters. Put your head in your hands.
By SRI.
Why not cash in an affliction?
Issued by Ramp Truckle on behalf of Her Majesty's Imperial Government.
But, Minister, I repeat, is privatization a wise solution to the question of the future of the SRI?
Well, being a total fool, I can't comment on the wisdom or otherwise of my decision there. But what I can say is we're going to do it and no one can stop us, so yarboo to you and all the other moaning millies.
And you estimate demand will be sufficient?
Of course. There's an awful lot of ordinary decent people out there with itchy palms.
You don't fear that these ordinary people are just going to sell out quick for an easy profit?
Of course they will. There'll be the usual token inducements to hang on, but basically we're hoping that a large tranche of small investors cash up pretty sharpish.
Why?
So the big lava and rinse pharmaceutical boys can swoop in. As we see it, scalp research will be much better managed by the professionals.
So you foresee a change of direction in scalp research after the flotation?
That's hardly my province. I'm just the minister responsible. But one would expect the professionals to get closer to the things that matter to the man and woman in the street.
Such as the SID epidemic.
Well, I was thinking more in terms of packaging, special offers for the ladies, that kind of thing.
Cosmetic measures.
Well, you say cosmetic, but what's wrong with that? Scurf, it's not just on your head, it's in your head. And there's a deep point of principle at stake here, which this government believes in very sincerely. Namely, what the eye don't see, the heart don't grieve for. We want the public to forget all this depressing nonsense about death and decay and pretend we're all forging ahead into a better tomorrow. We're saying, come on, buy a few shares, make a few bob, get a slice of the action. Disease can be fun. Capitalism can be fun.
Yet your advertising campaign has been accused of bad taste.
Well, speaking as someone with absolutely no discrimination whatsoever, I can't really answer that.
Also, the campaign has been accused of social divisiveness.
By who?
The Archbishops of Canterbury, Durham and York, the Vice-Chancellor of Oxford University and the Head of the Computer Studies at Lancaster Polytechnic.
You see, you can't name me a name, can you? It's all veiled, cowardly, anonymous insinuation.
Well, finally, Minister, further criticism has been directed at the immense cost of the privatisation package.
As I see it, if one does something stupid, one's bound to get criticism. But for some unknown reason, the mud never seems to stick to this government. Duff, gaffs, spanks, leaks, bungles, it's all like water off a duck's back. And I'd like to think that's in part a tribute to our massive insensitivity.
How much exactly is the entire privatisation package going to cost?
Oh, around 200 million, give or take a bit of backsheesh and slush.
And that for a concern only valued at 5 million.
Please let me finish. We have 24 groups of professional advisers working on this issue. 3 merchant banks, 2 advertising agencies, a clearing bank, and 2 clairvoyants. You can't say fairer than that, now can you?
Except it might be said that such a campaign is out of proportion to the size of the Scalp Research Institute.
We want a big impact on the public, so we need a big campaign. It's as simple as that. Look here, we want every single man, woman, and child in the country to apply for shares in the SRI.
Surely there won't be enough to go round.
Ah, but there will. That's where previous flotations have gone wrong. Artificially limiting the shareholding base with ballots and allocations and other nonsense like that. No, anyone who applies for an SRI share will get one, no problem.
If every man, woman and child in the UK were to apply...
That's right.
..at a minimum investment level of £1,500...
That's right.
..that would raise approximately £75,000 billion.
Not being able to do times is I can't really comment on that.
That's 75 billion for an establishment only valued at 5 million.
Not bad, eh? Should pay the old unemployment benefit for a couple of weeks.
It seems a bit odd.
Oh, there's nothing odd about it. The SRI is only worth 5 million now, that's true. But once it fetches 75 billion, it'll be worth 75 billion. That's known as the economics of the marketplace.
And the excess capital will be invested in scalp research.
I've told you before, I'm only the minister responsible. It's none of my business. After the sale, the SRI will be in private hands. That's what privatization means.
But surely you'll maintain some safeguard, some control.
Well, I play bridge quite regularly with the sister-in-law of the chairman-designate, so there shouldn't be any problem there. That's how he got the job, actually.
Are you going to buy any?
What? SRI shares? We need the profit to pay our bupa.
And tonight's headlines again. Sid cases top the million. More in pipeline, say SRI. Workdays lost through illness reach record levels. Government says Sid's to blame. The Prime Minister opens new Noxetol plant in Anglesey. 150 jobs created. And tonight's main news... In the Maldives, 63 UK general practitioners are detained after lively scenes at a medical disco.
How are you today, then?
Lousy.
Oh, that's good.
Well, Sir Henry, how do you react to the imminent privatisation of our establishment, the Scalp Research Institute?
Well, Simpson, my number two, I can't say I'm against it.
That's most generous-spirited of you, sir.
I know we'll be losing 62% of our staff and moving from this 70-acre site to an accommodation address near Paddington Station, but we'll be leaner, fitter, cheaper, and most important, I'll still be in charge.
No, you won't.
All right, not actually in charge. A figurehead, a puppet, bending and stooping at the whim of vested interests. But then, I've always done that. The only difference is now it's all open and above board.
Didn't anyone tell you? You're one of the unfortunate 62%.
What?
You are for the chop. Look, see here, in this tabloid newspaper.
I can see that.
It's all down to rationalisation. And guess who's going to be our new director?
Surely not.
Yes, that's right.
Brent Pringle. Welcome back, Brent. I'll ask you all the same old questions in just a minute. But what's all this... Director designate of the SRI. Coming up in the world, aren't we?
Well, that's me. Always on the ball.
Seriously, how are you going to approach your new job, which, after all, is laden down with a grievous burden of responsibility?
Well, I'm going to try and not let it affect my life too much.
You'll still be appearing in backhanders.
Well, naturally. That's my number one priority.
I should hope so, too.
Then there's blankety-blank, praise be, and my newspaper columns. But they're all ghosted. In fact, I can't see how I'm going to find any time at all for scalp research.
You'll just be a figurehead.
Correct.
Newly armed, newly equipped flotators, is that the word? How do you see the fight against Sid going in the next few weeks?
Well, hopefully we're up against a brick wall, medication-wise. And do you realise how much money Noxo are making?
Being a shareholder, yes.
It makes me sick.
I think that's the idea.
They think they can keep me sweet by giving me this new job. They don't realise I'm not interested in cash and prestige. I'm an idealist. I'm interested in the aesthetics of pathology.
And Angie's ankles.
From now on, I'm going to be approaching Sid from a much more natural, hands-on, organic point of view.
And Angie?
So I'm withdrawing my endorsement of Noxetol and making a new recommendation of nationwide mutual grooming.
I'm sure Angie will be thrilled about that.
No, grooming. Mutual grooming. You see monkeys at it all the time. You pair off and feel around each other's heads and armpits and bottoms with your fingers.
For what does one feel us? Dandruff?
Oh... Anything, really.
And what, pray, doth one do with anything, if one finds it?
Eat it, dear Henry. Eat it.
We are not going to take this lying down.
Not we, Sir Henry. You. I'm one of the lucky 38%.
All the better. My plan calls for megalomaniacal tendencies.
What plan is this, although I'm not really interested?
The last resort. The ultimate weapon.
I'm suddenly awestruck. Surely you don't mean...
Yes, Pringle's real research.
published that, and it's mutually assured destruction. It'll blow Sid, the Institute, the Lava Boys, the pharmaceuticals, everyone to kingdom come. And you won't even get a job in a lice clinic.
That's correct. The revelation that scurf is an entirely curable condition would have just the effects you have described. But perhaps I won't have to publish.
How so?
You've heard of a deterrent, haven't you? Polaris? Trident?
Oh, yes, that's the firm and prudent policy of saying rather than lose this war, I'll blow up the whole planet.
That's right. Like the little boy whose team's losing the game, so he takes his football home.
Mm. Would you have the resolute courage to do that, sir?
I think so.
To cut off your nose to spite your face?
Ears, nose, and throat.
Because if they think you're bluffing...
Don't you worry, Simpson. For credible first use, you need to be seen to be a fruitcake with the skin of a Californian redwood and the intelligence of a jellyfish. I think I fit the bill there.
Groovy grooming craze grabs Sid Weary Britain.
Are you picking it out with your partner?
It doesn't have to be a regular partner. I strongly advocate casual grooming or grooming around.
Well, you won't catch me with my fingers in someone else's hair.
Not likely.
Give me a good old dose of Nuxatol any day of the week. Mind you, I wouldn't mind grooming him.
That's right. Who?
That Pringle.
And we should all say, eek, eek, while we're doing it.
That's right. Eek, eek.
All right, children. You heard what the doctor said. Now then, we're going to sing a little song about Sid while we groom each other. Ready? 1, 2, 3, 4.
In a unique gesture today in Parliament, the Prime Minister groomed the Foreign Secretary during the emergency debate on Sid. Noxo's Anglesey plant is due to close tomorrow with the loss of 150 jobs. Fall in demand for Noxatol was blamed.
So, Sir John Nox, either you remove Pringle and give me my job back as director of the SRI, or I publish this report, and I assure you there's an end to all of us.
As it happens, Sir Henry, I invited you over here to my luxuriously appointed offices with the express intention of offering you your own job back.
After due deliberation, I accept.
But only if you can dream up some way of killing off this Sid nonsense and taking the wind out of that maniac Pringle's sails. First he was like putties on our ankles, but now he's showing remarkable courage and independence. Under his inspirational leadership, everyone's going potty about nature and organisms and all that stuff. We can't shift our chemicals for love nor money, not even the harmless ones.
I have an idea.
Simpson, I didn't know you were here.
Well, don't worry. Simpson's been on my private payroll, bought and paid for years. I have every regard for his advice.
And my advice is, publish Pringle's real scurf cure report and put his lotion into production.
Don't talk wet, man. To manufacture a cheap once-for-all scurf cure, it'd be commercial suicide.
Since when did the price you charge bear any relation to actual production costs?
True enough.
But whatever price you charge, however astronomical, if it's a once-and-for-all application, it's a finite market.
What do you say to that, Simpson?
Is there strictly any need to tell people it's a once-and-for-all job?
I suppose not.
I mean to say, are we gods? Can we ever be absolutely certain that we're 100% right? That the dreaded white flakes won't gradually reappear on the collar of the nation? Isn't it wiser and safer to advise an ongoing use of the lotion, say, every 5 to 6 weeks?
Hellam, I think he has a point.
After all, we represent a responsible, caring industry, don't we?
But how are you going to get rid of all the vast stocks of pre-Pringle lather and rinse products?
Oh, demand will be nil.
Usual procedure with outmoded or discredited pharmaceuticals.
What?
Offload them onto the third world.
Of course! I don't know why we didn't think of all this before. It would have saved an awful lot of trouble.
I did think of it, but I'd love to see people suffer. I suppose that's why I went into medical research.
Sid's a goner.
Super Sid slay drug, fine.
Scurf, a thing of the past.
Axe for Pringle in backhanders.
And I'm saying Sid. Why not? It makes you feel good. Okay, it kills you in the end, but that's like life, isn't it? No one's going to live forever. Everyone's got to die of something, so why not Sid? He's been a good friend to me. The best friend I ever had.
Nice to have him back at Lara Trite, ain't it, Nurse?
Like he's never been away.
Hot dinner, or fetch me electrode!
whatever next, eh?
I'll rinse it for you.
Oh, it's not help they want, it's shooting.
Then the Pringoil.
Mmm, that's nice.
Mmm.
That was Sid by Steve May. The part of Pringle was played by David Collings. Stylist, Donald G. The client, Tessa Worsley. Sir Henry Pelham, Geoffrey Whitehead. Simpson, Michael Kilgariff. Rep A, Charles Simpson. Rep B, Ken Cumberledge.